This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. And I don't know why it sounds funnier since he started coaching in the NFL again, but here's Coach Gruden.
Hey, Coach Gruden, you must really love our wings.
I love Hooters. The awesome wings, the great seafood and burgers. I know you can get it to go and it all tastes great sitting at home watching the game, but really? Don't you want the same awesome food brought to your table by some world-famous Hooters girls? Of course you do. I've seen some great games up close and personal, but nothing beats watching the game at Hooters.
You got it, Coach. Hooters, famous for wings, seafood, football coaches, and some pretty awesome Hooters girls.
My continued thanks to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Hooters, a big reason we were able to expand to two podcasts throughout this entire season, and we will continue the two weekly podcasts through Super Bowl 52. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is also teed up at West Chase Golf Club. West Chase Golf Club is online at westchasegc.com. You can call for tee time information and rates. Very good weekday, weekend, twilight, and super twilight rates currently available at West Chase Golf Club in Tampa. 813-854-2331. 813-854-2331. West Chase Golf Club is hosting the 13th event and first of 2018 on the Todd Wright Tour, February 3rd. And that event is sold out. If you were too late to sign up as an individual, a twosome, a threesome, or a foursome, you can reach out to me to get now on the alternate list in case someone cancels. But we are completely sold out for Todd Wright Tour, Good versus Evil 2018 at West Chase Golf Club. Again, you can email me to get on the alternate list at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. In the meantime, as the weather warms up into the weekend and early next week, get out to West Chase Golf Club and enjoy some of the best conditions, best greens there in quite some time. 813-854-2331, West Chase Golf Club. All right, again, I take all your fantasy football questions, which this time of year are pretty much exclusively DFS-type questions, at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. We talked a little bit on the podcast earlier this week about how the last play of the divisional playoff weekend changed everything. For those of you that were involved in DFS games that included Saints and Vikings, whether that was a turbo with just the two games on Sunday, or the new showdown format where you can play within just one game, or like me, you played all four games in one very big league, and I jumped from roughly 4,000th place to about 1,000th place based on the fact that I had Stephon Diggs and jumped up that many places on the last play of that particular weekend. So it shows you what big plays can do. It also speaks to how Stephon Diggs has really been trending up. Actually, I have a little remorse on a huge deal that I made in the league I commissioned just prior to the trade deadline. I moved Ezekiel Elliott, who was sitting on suspension and just doing nothing for me. And sure, I would have had Elliott back had I reached the Week 16 championship game, but I felt I could entice the person who was likely going to be in the last place game, who wanted to avoid the last place penalty, by making a deal for Ezekiel Elliott, clearly giving her a number one running back that she could count on in a last place game. So we did a deal, and I took back Stephon Diggs in that deal. And I immediately then flipped Stephon Diggs to another owner that was fighting to make the playoffs, who was disappointed in Brandon Cooks and needed another running back. And that running back that I included in that deal was P. Ryan. it was Diggs, not Cooks, who really has had the better trend upwards. Cooks wasn't bad, but in the end, Cooks wasn't even someone that I used in the playoffs because I just didn't like the matchup enough to put him in there. And Diggs has become, more so than Thielen, the catch and run guy in this later part of the season and obviously into the playoffs. So as far as Diggs this week, even against a strong Eagle defense that has amazingly not given up any points the last 2 minutes of any game, was that just at home or all season? And opponents are only averaging 13 points per game on games played in Philadelphia. Diggs still should be front and center, probably the feature guy on the Minnesota Vikings this week in what is expected, just look at the Vegas total, in the high 30s to be a low-scoring game. Let's just sort of go through. I'll stay with the Vikings, and then I'll move to the Eagles. And rather than go by position and prices via DraftKings, which I did a week ago in this spot, let me just talk generally about players and their matchups. So I like Diggs more than I like Thielen. I'm cooling a little bit on Kyle Rudolph. Now, one red zone catch, and he was targeted again in the Saints game and couldn't pull it in, would change that on Rudolph. But I'm a little cooler on Rudolph in this matchup against the Eagles. You're probably best off investing in Gronk for this week. If you're going to spend a lot of money on one particular guy, that's probably the guy that you spend it on, whether you spend it at the tight end position or you spend it on Gronk as a flex. Those are your two options. Because there really isn't another standout play to me. I don't necessarily love Rudolph this week. I don't love Ertz this week at his price. There clearly has been a step down with Ertz, as has been the case with other pass catchers since Nick Foles took over for Carson Wentz. And from a Jacksonville standpoint, who knows? A few different guys are in the mix there, and it's sort of tougher to pinpoint which one might be the one you play. The best bargain last week at the tight end position, while I stand by my play of Josh Hill, which was not a bad play for the price, but Vance McDonald, granted, a lot of it was quote-unquote garbage time catches, but Vance McDonald put up a big number for a low-cost tight end that opens up spending money on star productive players at other positions in daily fantasy. I'm not really sure if I can give you a projection on who that would be this week or if there is any play like that, which is why I'm just spending the money on Gronk and playing him at the tight end position in the New England matchup against Jacksonville. So from the Minnesota standpoint, like Diggs more than Thielen. I think Rudolph could get another red zone look, but Gronk to me is the big money play this week. Running back wise, I think McKinnon is going to see some volume in this game. You can save a little money this way. I think it's a tough matchup for Latavius Murray and Minnesota. If they struggle to move and stay ahead of the chains, might look to McKinnon to change things up a little bit. And who knows, could make some big plays, could be a hot hand. I love the prop in Vegas, as I told Gil Alexander on his VEASAN show. There's a prop out there you can play. For example, which quarterback will have the most passing yards this weekend? Which wide receiver will have the most receiving yards this weekend? which running back will have the most rushing yards. McKinnon, to me, is a nice price at 10-1 in that category just because Ajayi has a tough matchup. Murray has a tough matchup. Yes, Deion Lewis should see a lot of volume, but if Rex Burkhead gets back in, then that could affect Deion Lewis's volume. It is the Jacksonville defense. Granted, they're tougher to pass against than they are to run against. And Fournette is got his hands full, nursing the ankle injury again. And game flow could hurt him, and just the Patriots selling out to force Jacksonville to put the ball in the hands of Blake Bortles in the AFC Championship game. So McKinnon, to me, is worth a look in daily. He's also worth a look on that prop, if you can find that. Case Keenum, obviously, there was going to be a lot of talk about the quarterbacks this week because you have one Hall of Famer and three that have not really been had their name in Hall of Fame in the same breath ever. Bortles, Keenum, and Foles. So do you spend the money on Tom Brady? Is it worth it as the big play? Very well could be. I'm not scared off by this mysterious hand injury. Clearly something happened there. It doesn't mean it's going to affect Brady's ability to throw the ball, complete passes, put up passing yards. So that doesn't affect me as it relates to Brady. Instead, I'm looking at trying to get by with one of the other three quarterbacks, leaning more towards Keenum or Foles rather than Bortles. Just because I think the running games are going to struggle in the Vikings-Eagles game, which kind of puts the ball in Keenum or Foles' hand to try to win the game, move the chains, convert those third downs. And Foles obviously put up pretty respectable numbers, not fantasy-wise, but pretty respectable numbers stat-wise, even though he didn't throw a touchdown pass against the Falcons last week after a horrible start. So if you feel Brady is worth the price, spend it. You could stack Brady and Gronk. You're just going to have to, economize probably on your number two and number three wide receivers and your flex play, as well as your second running back. But if you feel that Brady's going to have a big game, then you can stack him with Gronk. And I certainly can understand that play. The percentages are going to be on both of them this week in most daily fantasy leagues. So we go from Vikings and talking about Vikings and Keenum. Let me go over to the Eagles side of things. Could be very tough sledding for Jay Ajayi. I might look elsewhere rather than Ajayi. I might give LeGarrette Blount a look. LeGarrette Blount might be motivated by the fact that if he can help the Eagles win this game, he gets to play against the Patriots next week in the Super Bowl. Blount did get the Eagles their only touchdown in a goal-to-go situation last week. He's expected to get that work again. Touchdowns could be at a premium in that Vikings-Eagles game. And there's only two games this week. If the Patriots sell out against Fournette, cause Jacksonville to be caught in a negative game flow for the running game, rushing touchdowns are going to be at a real premium. So even if Blount gets one, it might be worth it to you. So I'm looking at Blount as an inexpensive yet reasonable play this week, just based on the overall landscape of how difficult it's going to be to find value and production in running backs, maybe outside of Deion Lewis. We'll get to the Patriots in a moment. From a pass-catching standpoint, it's interesting. I don't have a problem playing Foles, but I don't think I want to spend money on Ertz. I'm not sure I want to spend money on Alshon Jeffrey or Nelson Aguilar this week. Very difficult matchup there. So it's odd. Foles I can justify, but I think wide receivers and tight ends I want to look elsewhere this week, just because it's the production is clearly down since Wentz went down. And even though I think the Eagles can score in this game and potentially win the game, I'm just not of an opinion that, yeah, it's going to be this particular wide receiver or Ertz that's going to do it. It might be really spread out. It could be pretty random. So I'm not looking to invest in the Eagle receivers or in Zach Ertz, and I'm a big Zach Ertz fan. As far as the New England Patriots are concerned, Deion Lewis is a very strong running back play again this week. He could get vultured by Rex Burkhead if Burkhead plays. Burkhead did practice last week, then was not active. A little part of me thinks the Patriots are saving Rex Burkhead for the Super Bowl. Because it just felt like he could have played last week. Feels like he could play this week. And Burkhead is a tremendous red zone threat for Tom Brady. Again, that's one you want to go right down to the 90 minutes before kickoff on. And the Patriots are the early game. So you could put Rex Burkhead in your lineup. And then if he's inactive, you have 90 minutes to adjust your lineup accordingly and redistribute money and put someone else in that spot. But sure, I think Deion Lewis is worth playing this week regardless of Burkhead's status. He's definitely worth playing if Burkhead is inactive. We already talked about Gronk justifying his price at the tight end position. Not big on Brandon Cooks this week because the Jaguars have such tough cornerbacks in Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye. You might see more underneath type throws to Danny Amendola. His daily price being up reflects his volume last week. I also like Chris Hogan. This is now, what, about a few weeks Chris Hogan has been back. We know the connection that Brady and Hogan have. Hogan tends to perform well in big games. This is one. So I think Hogan is also worth looking at. Maybe more so than Cooks, who's going to draw some top cornerback attention from Ramsey or Bouye. As far as we talked about tight end, talked about running back, let's go to the Jaguars. If you're the belief that the Jags can feature Fournette, then by all means play him. I'm just worried about so many factors this week as it relates to Fournette. And, you know, just sort of the makeup of the Patriots is not the makeup of the Steelers. You can't compare the two games. So I'm not on Fournette this week. And I'm just not sure where I would want to invest in any Jacksonville Jaguars, even in a garbage time situation. I mean, where do you look for the wide receiver that's catching passes from Blake Bortles? I mean, there are multiple tight ends in play. There are multiple slot receivers. There's Marquise Lee. There's Dede Westbrook. Cole has not picked up where he left off at the end of the regular season. So honestly, I don't really know where to look here with the Jaguars. The 8.5 to 9, 9.5 point spread suggests that it will be inverse game flow. If you think Blake Bortles is going to have to do some stuff with his legs, then maybe you, if you're not playing Tom Brady, maybe you're using Bortles rather than Nick Foles or Case Keenum. It's not an investment I want to make this particular week. It just kind of feels like the Jaguars' great run comes to an end this week, and it could come to a very difficult end where there's not a lot of yardage and no real predictable standout offensive performer that is going to justify his daily fantasy price. As far as DST goes, you could roll the dice and go with the Jags. They are the most inexpensive defense on the board. And, you know, you could go with it because that's been a big – it certainly worked against the Steelers last week where if you're like, well, I don't necessarily think that the Vikings or the Eagles or the Patriots are going to are definitely the plays, so why not save a little money and, you know, even if the Jaguars lose, if there's a pick six in there, then it's still points. I'm not really sure DST-wise. Personally, I'm going to play the Eagles DST at home just because they have given up so few points at home. But I can really make a case for playing any DST. It's just a matter of whether or not you want to save a few hundred dollars and go all the way to the top of the board or down at the bottom of the board. But there doesn't seem to be a standout DST to play over another, not in my opinion. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Hot wings, cold beer, summer seafood, Hooters style. Oh, a little heat of summer would probably feel good for a lot of you around the country and around the world right now. For those of you in the Tampa Bay area, there are 12 Tampa Bay area Hooters locations to serve you, and you can find one of those at originalhooters.com. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is also teed up at West Chase Golf Club in Tampa, 813-854-2331, 18 holes, a par 72, championship golf. Visit them online at westchasegc.com. I thank all of you for another advanced sellout of one of my golf tournaments, the Todd Wright Tour Good versus Evil 2018 event at West Chase Golf Club in a little over 2 weeks is sold out. Thank you for selling it out. If you'd like to be placed on the alternate list to play, you can email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Enjoy Conference Championship Sunday. We will be back with a recap at some point next week. We'll get you multiple podcasts next week. Not sure of the date. Might not be Monday due to some travel concerns for me, as I don't travel with my podcast equipment, but we'll see. Either way, we'll have a recap of the conference championship games and still get you multiple podcasts before Super Bowl 52 and before the Pro Bowl, because the only way you can play daily fantasy, well, actually that doesn't apply anymore, at least in DraftKings with the showdown format. But I don't mind breaking down the Pro Bowl for fantasy reasons. It actually has given me a reason to care a little bit, not much, little bit about the Pro Bowl because previous fantasy rules said you had to combine two games. So the only way you could play the Super Bowl was by also playing someone from the Pro Bowl, which made it interesting, and we'll still play along with that in podcasts after Conference Championship Sunday. Enjoy the games. Good luck in your daily fantasy leagues or any of the postseason leagues that you are playing in. Remember, you can always ask me any fantasy questions at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com.